the newly cleaned University Tower Chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from Communication Studies, it's Professor Jason Roach.
Oh, man, you looked at Dave Chow when you said that. I'm like, oh, he's going over to Dave.
He looked you off.
I know, exactly. The no-look pass.
It's the no-look pass.
Very well done.
It's definitely my NFL forte.
Great to be here today.
Glad to have you. It still is sunglasses weather, isn't it?
It always is for me.
It could be night
and it's sunglasses weather, and it's a double comb-over look.
Oh, I see.
So if I put them up here, you can't really see that there's two widow's peaks on there.
I was actually thinking about it more like after this snowstorm we got the other day. Everything seems very bright when the light is reflecting off of the snow. So even in the mornings, it felt brighter.
Absolutely.
So it's a full moon right now, too. So
full moon, yep. That helps, depending on your definition of help. Because usually a full moon makes my students completely freak out. Non-scientific, that's all I have to say. We have Professor Jeff Boats here from the Department of Mathematics.
Howdy.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Okay. So, getting ready to wrap up?
I hope so. Man, getting finals pretty soon, and
unbelievable.
It's nice to sort of shut down a semester. You know,
yes, it is.
There's a sense of peace about it. Peace of falling snow.
You're a very positive thinker, Jeff. We have this once every 7 years calendar here at Detroit Mercy, where pretty much everything gets wrapped up before Thanksgiving. And then we come back, holiday hangover, and we go right into finals. So, yeah, it should be nice.
Oh, hangover. Oh, sorry.
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Professor in the Department of Tiki Studies.
Darn right.
What is the intersection of tikis and Christmas? Would that be Melikaliki
Makar? There isn't any, that's all.
Wait, there isn't any? Of course there is.
What is it?
I don't know. There's got to be.
Well, there's always a tiki swap fest over in over in Livonia.
Okay. There you go.
I've got plenty of tiki music. And then
Mele Kaliki Maka comes to mind.
Sure.
Bing Crosby singing the old favorites.
Among other songs. So, yeah,
absolutely.
We've got plenty of music, too. So
you put a little Santa hat on your tiki.
I don't have enough Santa hats.
Oh,
so
okay.
I've got too many. Far too many.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize, too, the autographed photograph. So you can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can find us on Facebook or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Ask the Professor is not responsible for anything else that your smart speaker overhears you saying or doing in your own home. If only Beth Oljar were here, I wouldn't let one of those within 300 feet of me. It will know too much. Okay. Dear Matt and panelists, I hope things have gone well this year for the professors. 2019 is certainly wrapping up here. It's been a long time since I've sent in questions, but I've constantly enjoyed listening to the podcast. Rather than freeloading, I'm sending in 25 questions to add to the show. I hope they prove challenging and entertaining. Sincerely, Judy Palmer. Thanks for sending these in, Judy. I saw from your last email that it's been just over a year since you sent in questions, but we'll take them whenever we can get them. I takes what I finds. How many women are listed on the Vietnam War Memorial Wall? That is a very good piece of trivia. I have never heard this before.
I would assume, would they be nurses? Because they weren't in combat, so.
Could be a trick question with the answer zero.
It's not zero.
Oh, okay.
It's not zero.
There's like 58,000 names, right?
I was going to say,
I would say 1,000.
Okay, 1,000 is high.
Yeah, women weren't on the front lines back then, so it would probably have to have been nurses.
That's what I'm thinking, in a MASH unit or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe like 200 then?
It's a little high.
Wow.
10?
I'll give it to you by order of magnitude. It's 8, according to this question. There are 8 females whose names are listed on the Vietnam War Memorial Wall. So, yeah, I think that it wasn't just sort of in general about the Vietnam War. It was people who lost their lives in the war, and women may not have been on the front lines at that time.
I always think of that painting. Do you guys know that painting with the guy looking into the reflection of the wall?
Right.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's just such a moving
absolutely
work of art.
The one thing I'm always amazed by that wall is there's actually somebody that goes and collects all the little mementos.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And what do they do with all that?
For a second, I was going to be at least 20% snarky, and I was like, does anybody here know how many names are on their total? So 58,000, in which case, of course, it would be, you know, whatever half of 58 is 1,000 women on the wall, right? Because that's the way the gender distribution is in the world. But my idea has already failed. I'm moving on. What famous comedian once married Julia Rosenthal, Elaine Ackerman, Marion Buxbaum, and Valerie Newman?
I don't know any of those people.
Rodney Dangerfield?
It would be before Rodney Dangerfield.
Mickey Rooney?
We are actually talking about 1930 to 1947. In a 17-year time span, married all four of these people.
Oh, okay.
Will Rogers?
Famous comedian. Will Rogers is the era, but incorrect response.
Charlie Chaplin?
Mm-mm.
Jimmy Durante.
Harold Lloyd?
Mm-mm. His first name was Jerome. But who am I talking
about? That didn't
help. Yeah, I was going to say.
He must go by a stage name then.
He definitely by a stage name, was almost exclusively known by the one word stage name.
Groucho?
Nope, Harpo. But getting closer.
Was it one of the Marx Brothers?
Mm-mm.
San Laurel?
No.
Oh, one of the Three Stooges?
Yeah, it was Curly Howard.
Curly
Howard. He was quite the womanizer. Or the women were manizers. I don't know. But Jerome Curly Howard of the Three Stooges, four times married and divorced between 1930 and 1947.
Wow.
Whew. That's wild. An average steer that weighs 1,000 pounds, how much of that mass is edible beef?
Define edible.
Yeah.
We are not going to serve ground up bones.
Yeah, let's puree that horn.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think we're talking the right way of saying edible beef.
1,000 pounds, so what percentage of it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, 800 pounds?
That's a little
high. I'd say 600, 60% maybe.
It's actually
450.
Basically, 450 is what it says. It's basically 50%.
Because I'm thinking, the bones are not really going to use.
Yeah, but they're so much lighter compared to the other stuff, aren't they?
True. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe that just when they're dry.
I'm just thinking like the entrails, all the other
hot dogs.
Yeah.
Well, where do hot dogs come from? I know I've used this joke before, but it's one of my all-time favorites. When my youngest son, Emmett, was about 4 or 5 years old, we asked him what he thought went into making traditional hot dogs, and he thought about it for a second and responded with, traditional, hot, and dogs, which is partial credit.
Future English major.
Exactly.
He broke down the sentence for you.
On the classic television show, The Brady Bunch, everybody looks at Dave,
mm-hmm.
Who appeared in more episodes, Sam the Butcher or Cousin Oliver?
Sam the Butcher, easily.
Sam.
Absolutely, but it wasn't easily.
Really?
Sam the Butcher, a.k.a. Alice's boyfriend,
Alan Melvin.
Alan Melvin, appeared in 8 episodes of the show. Cousin Oliver, played by Robbie Rist, appeared in 6. So they were close.
I'm shocked that Sam the Butcher was only in 8.
They must have had a lot of references to him when he wasn't seen.
You know what? It was a phone relationship, that's all. Just a phone. Alice just called it in, that's all.
Exactly.
Yeah, they mentioned him probably a dozen times, at least.
So. Just remember the Beastie Boys line, like Sam the Butcher bringing Alice the meat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was gonna make that reference, but you beat me to it. What do Don Ho, Desi Arnaz Jr., Joe Namath, Deacon Jones, and Davy Jones all have in common?
The first name starting with D.
Joe Namath would probably
call
that into question. But
Davy
like
Jones, Don Ho.
Well, a certain
Davy Jones, David Bowie was David Jones, really, and changed his name. Are these all pseudonyms?
They're not
middle
pseudonyms.
Name?
Nope, not middle names.
Name?
They actually all appeared somewhere at different times.
Love Boat?
Mm-mm.
No,
but they're actually
that's
really
a
close.
Great guess.
Fantasy
they're,
Island?
Not Fantasy Island.
Darn, a game show.
Don't go too far away from the tree here, Apple.
The Brady Bunch?
It was the Brady Bunch.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
They all appeared as themselves on the Brady Bunch.
That is so cool.
It's the part they were born to play, baby. I'm just figuring, like, Joe Namath, very charismatic, but do you think he could have acted?
No. Sort of. Was that the football episode with Marshall?
Guess it had something to do with football.
Oh, I could have swore I saw on some obscure movie channel there was a Joe Namath movie where he was supposed to be this tough guy, biker guy. And the name of the movie was something to do with, it was like Joe Namath kicking butt and taking names. It was something really stupid.
Oh my
god. Joe Namath beats the Martian.
I was going to watch it just to see how bad it was, and I'm like, nah.
It feels kind of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood there, like, you know, washed up from some other era. What are the four major kinds of tea, as in drinking tea?
Black.
Black is one.
Oolong.
Green.
Green and? Black, green, Iced. Oolong, and?
Mr. T. Sanity.
English?
Starts with a W, and it's a color.
White?
White is the last one, yes. Black, green, white, and oolong. We hit them all up here.
What color is oolong? Is that in between like red and cyan?
That's a good question.
I don't know, but it's one of two words that begins O-O blank O.
That's right.
Oology being the other one.
Nice. The study of eggs. What is the all-time best-selling gym shoe / tennis shoe, as we call it here in Michigan?
Like a brand or a specific
sub-brand? You could be as specific as you want to.
Nike?
No.
Air Force One?
Mm-mm.
Converse.
It's Chuck Taylor's. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, for many years, there was no competition, right?
That's right. Yeah. And they went away for a few years, but have recently been resurrected.
Have you seen the new ones, though? The waterproof ones?
Yeah, they're quite nice.
They are pricey, too.
Yes, they are. Converse Chuck Taylor All-Stars, as of 2018-2019, nearing 600 million pairs sold.
Wow.
It's almost enough for 1/7 of the Earth. What separates the cruise ship The World from other luxury cruise ships?
Size?
Mm-mm.
Where's Jim when we need him?
Has something to do with...
Jim Tubbs never sailed on it.
That's right. Well, but partial credit. But, no, something about what's happening on board, not its size.
Age restriction? Mm-mm. No children? No animals?
It's got a wave pool?
No, but that would be sweet.
All right.
To actually put the ship off kilter with the wave pool.
Does it have something
ski
on
slopes?
Board that...
Mm-mm.
It goes to every country that has a coastline because it's the world. No.
Yeah, but that's a good guess, though. No, that's not it.
Steam
it has
powered?
Something
nuclear
that...
powered.
I'm trying to think about the way to put this. It has something that you would expect from a house.
It has a foundation.
No. No. It has a sewer main.
Ooh. It's more...
I believe that I've blown it. I had an idea in my mind about how I could massage this.
More family friendly?
No, it has permanent residence. So people who treat that as their permanent address.
Like the suite life on deck.
Something like that. Yeah, someone's watching Disney Channel. Yep, that's exactly the way it works.
From many years ago.
165 permanent residents that live there year round.
Wow.
So does that make it its own sovereign nation then?
That's a good question because it goes in and out of international waters.
Because with a population that small, I think I could make the Olympic team in a few events if I were a resident.
Probably.
There.
Not shuffleboard though. They're really good at shuffleboard.
No, but they ain't going to have a curling team, are they?
Or ski.
I just got to find three other guys.
Well, you got three here. Damn. Let's go.
In international waters, anything is possible. That's where, isn't that where Sugar Ray fought Secretariat?
Yeah, the bobsled team too, right?
Oh my!
Come on,
gosh.
Man! Here's a chance for Skeleton. Come on, let's go.
I know.
On the boat.
Oh my gosh! What is the age of the youngest person who ever bowled a perfect game?
9.
That is exactly correct. Hannah Deem was 9 when she bowled a 300. I have no other coordinating year. Where did that come from?
I just. Feeling down there to see how bad that hurts.
Oh, yeah, it hurts. 9-year-old bowled a 300. And,
just randomly yelled that out. So.
The headline on CNN today was about the 7-year-old that just graduated Oxford with a bachelor's degree.
No, I thought it was 9. Or is it 7 now?
Yeah, whatever.
I couldn't even spell Oxford at that age.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez. Yeah, and I live on that street.
Oh, true.
Name the 6 Saturday Night Live cast members that have been on the show for greater than 10 seasons.
Kenan Thompson.
Absolutely. He is, by the way, the ruling guy at 17 and still on it.
Jeez.
Remember
when
we
can't make it through all his lines without bursting out laughing at his own stuff? It's great.
I love the fact that he does that. Who was the old record holder for a long time from our
Daryl Hammond?
Daryl Hammond was 14, okay. But in the middle of all that, there was another actor, classic sort of character actor, initials TM.
TM.
Any ideas? I'm surprised.
Oh, no.
My era would have counted this person as like the workhorse. It was
Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows, yeah.
Oh,
Tim
Highland Meadows. Park's very own.
Mm-hmm. We've got 1, 2, 3 more.
I think he's Highland Park.
Highland Park, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who currently has
Jimmy
a very
Kimmel?
Successful, nope, but very successful non-Jimmy Kimmel related late night talk show.
Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers, oh, yep. Yeah. And once ran and won for senator from Minnesota.
Al Franken.
Until yep,
Al
Franken. Was deeply disgraced by the Me Too scandals.
And
initials F.A. I want to say he's currently on it, but I haven't watched in a long time.
Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen. He's a drummer for Seth Meyers now.
Oh, okay. There you go.
He's the band leader.
Yep. So just so we're clear, Kenan Thompson's 17, and I thought the workhorse was Tim Meadows. He was a measly 10.
Wow.
What was Daryl Hammond?
Daryl Hammond was 14 by the time.
Now, does that
retired.
Also count him being the announcer now, too?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. What do Gatorade, Cap'n Crunch, Lipton Tea, Ruffles, and Quaker Oats all have in common?
That's my breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jim Harbaugh.
All owned by the same conglomerate?
Yeah, they are. But what is it?
General Mills?
No.
Nestle?
Nope.
Wait.
Hershey.
Getting close, though.
PepsiCo.
Pepsi. Oh, look at this guy.
Wow.
Pulled it right out. You knew 9 years old, you knew Pepsi. Yeah, they're all owned by Pepsi. Every single major American food and foodstuff brand is basically only owned by three companies at this point. It's quite
Good
disturbing.
Lord.
Yeah, just a chart that's what made me think of PepsiCo that said 10 companies own most of the food we eat in the world.
Yep, that's pretty crazy.
Lovely.
I mean, that's a ton of companies compared to the number of media companies that own everything.
Which is like
three.
Yeah, I chuckle out loud when I see the TV commercial that aired over the last 2 weeks where the Simpsons are totally boldly advertising for Disney Plus. Homer's forcing Bart to dress up like Mickey Mouse and he pulls his pants down and shows his butt. And then the Disney logo goes over his cheeks. On average, which is more massive, a domestic American turkey or an emperor penguin?
Domestic American turkey.
Incorrect.
Oh.
But
how
far are you off?
I thought the second option was going to be a domestic American. Because we're getting pretty massive these days.
I think you would know the answer to that one. No, you know, a domestic American turkey is, on average, 13.5 pounds. How
Not
much does
house.
A penguin weigh?
Oh, probably 40 or so.
Yeah, it's 31. It's 31 pounds.
Okay,
those are big birds.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'll blubber, though. I can't serve one up, though.
Mm-hmm. They're Danny DeVito size. Remember the Batman movie, so...
Danny DeVito size. Oh, my gosh.
Danny DeVito should capitalize on his size. You know, as opposed to, like, Halloween, it should be, like, DeVito size as opposed to fun size.
Has he not capitalized
on
his
size? I don't
know. I'm thinking of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's pretty much his M.O. The heaviest domesticated turkey on record, if you know that the average is 13.5, how much did that turkey weigh?
38. Pounds.
It was more.
What?
Wow.
It was
so
more than
triple
the
average.
Wow.
50.
It was more.
What?
Birdzilla.
I was going to say. What,
63.
You know what? It was 82 pounds.
Oh my gosh. We would have kept guessing and guessing. See, that's bigger than your average emperor penguin right
like,
there.
At 15 minutes a pound, that's 20 and a half hours to cook that thing. It wouldn't fit in the stove.
How heavy is your youngest child?
That's a good question. I mean, probably 50 pounds.
So this bird is bigger than your child.
Yeah, I know. And it takes like a day and a half to defrost, too. We used to have to do it in the bathtub.
Wow.
Yikes. 82. That's a lot. What are collectively the Sturbridge Lion, the DeWitt Clinton, and the John Bull?
What was the last one?
The John Bull.
Are these mascots for sports teams?
Liquor line?
It's not liquor. It's not mascots. The DeWitt Clinton in particular, you probably, all three of you, including myself, have seen the DeWitt Clinton live.
It sounds like a debate.
It's not a debate.
Is it a Like a ship of some kind?
You're getting closer. It's not a ship.
Railroad?
It's a steam locomotive. Yeah, steam it's at the Henry Ford.
Okay.
These are collectively famous American steam locomotives.
Okay. That's the big one at the Henry Ford?
The DeWitt Clinton is the one that looks like it's a barrel with a smokestack coming out of it.
Gotcha. Yeah. The big one. The big
if my wife were here, she'd be all over this. Everybody knows about the DeWitt Clinton. That was the first commercially available locomotive engine.
Wow.
During the 1980s... what was the largest hotel in the world with 2,956 rooms for guests? The 80s.
Mm-hmm. In New York? The Waldorf?
It was not in New York. Mm-mm.
Was it in like someplace like Singapore or something?
No, it was in the United States.
Oh, Disney World?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't Disney, although it's a really good idea.
They have multiple hotels. It would probably add up to more than that. Somewhere.
It was out west.
One of the Las Vegas somethings.
Oh, there we go. Bellagio? Yeah.
Nope, not Bellagio, because Bellagio wasn't until the 90s.
Circus.
MGM Grand.
Nope, it was the Vegas Hilton. Vegas Hilton had almost 3,000 rooms. That's incredible. What famous singer was given the name Barry Allen Pincus when he was born?
Barry White?
Barry Manilow?
Barry Manilow. Oh. We had a 50-50 shot there.
Ooh.
We'll give full credit for the double guess. Nothing wrong with that. How did the Ford Mustang, the car, of course, get its name? We've got the Ford versus Ferrari movie coming out. I'm kind of excited about seeing that.
After the P-51, the fighter.
That's right. Named after the plane. That's exactly right. To say it's named after a horse is just not understanding creativity and art. Everything is named after something else. Have you seen
the electric Mustang coming out now?
Yeah, it looks pretty interesting. Yeah, it's a SUV.
Yeah, let's see what the purists say about it. We will see. Is it any different than Harley going electric?
I've really enjoyed having my Flex for the last 8 years, and that doesn't mean I want to get another one. They're getting rid of the model. Mm-hmm. But someone wrote this totally pathetic, I'm sorry if you're a listener.
not anymore.
Letter to the editor, to the Free Press the other day, like, bring back the Flex. That's basically all it said. And I'm like, oh, this is so depressing.
I mean,
this is the way we talk around here, you know?
It's changing, that's all.
Yeah, things are changing. What was the last automobile, make, model, and year, that had a cassette player?
The Ford Flex. Your Ford Flex.
It was not my Ford Flex.
Darn.
Thank God. Cassette player. I'll try to help you out, but you're going to fail miserably. It was 2011. I can't even believe I just said
what?
That. Yeah.
What?
Is this a foreign car?
It is not. It's a domestic.
Lincoln?
Shameful.
It's a Buick. It's a Ford. It's a Ford. The 2011 Ford.
Fusion.
No.
LTD?
Wait, no. It's got to be like.
Golf cart?
It's got to be like one of those, a Sprinter van or something like that?
I know that I'm about to lose half of our listenership here, but you have to think sort of like an old person. You know what I mean? I thought I was.
I said LTD. I said Galaxy. I don't know.
What, like a Lincoln?
Getting closer. Come on. Police cruisers.
Oh, Crown Vic.
Crown Vic.
Yeah, there we go.
Lord.
The 2011 Ford Crown Victoria. Play your old cassettes. Your Wilson.
Now, that was
Phillips
a standard or was that an option?
It sounds like it was standard.
In my day, we considered the hissing to be part of the music.
Oh, my gosh. What country produces, you're about to get this completely wrong, more than half of the world's olive oil?
Italy?
It is not. There we go.
The U.S. The U.S.
Spain is what it is.
Oh,
the U.S. would make sense, but we don't have a lot of olive trees in the state of Michigan, but it's Spain, yeah. Nice. Italy would have been my first guess, too. I mean, let's be serious here, you know?
Yeah, who's Philip Barrio anyway, so?
Who is that guy? What are the three flavors that make up Neapolitan-flavored things?
Chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
You got it. March, we're out of strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate ice cream.
Now, does that have to be in a particular order?
We always used to call it Chalk Van Straw.
I mean,
I would like to see the vanilla on the end because then we'll get less chance to get contaminated by the other flavors, but I've seen it where vanilla's in the middle, so
yeah,
it is what it is. What sort of rock would you find at the summit of Europe's Mount Elbrus?
A hard one.
Yes, partial credit. So you're going to need to go a little bit deeper than that.
Basalt.
You know what? I mean, you've brought one of the members of this rock family to bear. It would be igneous rocks.
Okay.
They are volcanic rocks, yes.
I thought I'm looking for a particular rock rather than
Mount
one
Elbrus
of the three types. Okay.
Is an active volcano.
Ooh.
Wow.
What is the largest colony of prairie dogs? Let's try to see if we can put some limitations on this.
Where's Heather?
So how many miles wide and how many individuals make up the largest colony of prairie dogs?
Wow, who counts these for one thing?
Yeah, I know.
Yes, it's not like there's a prairie dog census, is there? I mean, you know, excuse me, how many people live here?
I don't know if you guys are going to believe what this is.
Well, you said miles.
100,000.
How many miles wide? So it's not that big.
I was the population.
Oh, it is far greater than 100,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It is. It exceeds the population of the United States of America.
What? You must be from Detroit because you lie in.
Half a billion.
No, but very close. 400 million individual organisms in a colony 100 miles wide.
What?
And I don't know how you keep track of everybody's birthdays and all that. I mean, thank God for Facebook.
But how do they fit that many into 1 square mile? Or it must be 1 mile by like 1,000 miles.
Yeah. And then how do they determine the very edge of the...
I wish.
Yeah, well, that many of them, you could just walk up there, throw one stick, yell, fetch, and you would start an earthquake.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's true. It's absolutely true.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Heather would not want to live there.
No, she does not like the vermin. Does not like the vermin.
Giant stampede, licking and nipping everything in its path.
According to the USDA, what percentage of a sandwich must contain cooked meat?
Wait a minute. So what about a peanut butter and jelly?
In order to meet what requirement here?
The requirement of the USDA to be called a sandwich.
0%?
No.
Yeah, because like what happens, like I said, a PB&J, there's no meat in it.
I agree with that. But, you know, the United States government loves to label things.
Yeah, like ketchup is a vegetable or that thing.
Yeah, that's things true. Like that.
Wouldn't it be a fruit?
Yeah, 32%.
5%.
I'm giving it to you. 35% of a sandwich must be cooked meat in order to be called a sandwich.
You know what? We have too many rules.
My old boss was an army guy, and he would just tell us stories about, oh, you need the form for how much meat makes up a sandwich. I mean, the USA, you know, has a lot of forms.
What about all those other sandwiches that... I don't know.
I think it's fascinating. So this has been a really good set of questions, Judy. We only have one more left.
Oh, dear man.
According to American folklore, how were the 10,000 lakes, even though there's more, of Minnesota actually formed?
Glaciers?
You
said folklore.
Folklore, not science lore.
According to science. yes.
Is it like a Pecos Bill, Davy Crockett-esque?
Absolutely. Sort of? How about I give you Michigan State? That means
Wolverines dug the little holes.
What was it?
Paul Bunyan?
Paul Bunyan, yes. Oh, State and Michigan fight over the Paul Bunyan trophy. So a blue ox got lost in a snowstorm and started like pounding his feet into the earth like in anger and left lakes wherever he did that. So
I don't know how they left the mountains in Minnesota now. That's
That's a completely, completely different story. Where did the Porcupine Mountains come from, right?
I don't know, but I'd hate to get stuck there.
No.
Oh, man.
I've used that one ever since I moved to Michigan.
Oh, my gosh. Unfortunately, we are completely out of time. And let me tell you, we watch how many donuts are left, and it's almost zero. So it's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Boats.
Later.
Professor Roach.
Adios.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.